Sanhedrin, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet 2:4. More about the king and his rights and responsibilities. Here we're talking about a king that is leading the country into a war. Now here it's Umotzi Lemilchemas Harashus. If he's leading the country onto a voluntary war, if you will, then Al Pi Bezdin Shel Shiv Ve'Echad, he has to consult the Sanhedrin of 71. In other words, if the king is conducting a Milchemas Mitzvah, so that would be, for example, if one is sort of extirpating the seven for Canaanite nations, they have to get there, be, you know, the Pasuk says get rid of, or a fight against the Malek, that already have sanction from the Torah. You don't need to consult with the Bezin for that. The king can do it on his own prerogative. Same would be according to the Rambam. If there are Jewish lives that are being attacked and are at risk, and people are there to kill Jews, so then it's a mitzvah, a Milchemas Mitzvah, to defend the Jews and attack the enemies, and that would not require Sanhedrin authorization. However, Milchemas HaRashus, a voluntary war, means that the king decides he wants to sort of expand the boundaries for whatever economic or political or strategic rationale he has. So he basically needs the authorization of the Sanhedrin. The truth is that is a necessary but not sufficient requirement. He has to essentially consult with his own strategist. The strategist approves it, you know, his yoetz. Then he will get approval from the Sanhedrin. Then he also needs approval from the Urim V'Tumim. And after that, then he can implement with his general. Now, if the king, the laws of a kind of eminent domain, if the king is going from A to B with his entourage and private property is in his way, so says the Mishnah, uforetz la'asos lo derech, he's allowed to, you know, breach whatever's in his way. He can trample people's petunias, he can break down walls, fences and the like, to get wherever he has to go. Ve'ein mamachin biyado, and no one has any right to complain. And as the king can go where he wants to go, and no one can stop him, even if it means causing damage or whatever it is. Derech HaMelech in the Shior, and there's no Shior, there's no limit to, if the king says his entourage is, you know, I don't know, 50 people wide, and needs to therefore have 100 meters wide swath of, you know, land to pass through, so then the king can do that. There's no limitation on what he needs to pass through. This reminds you, if you see in Jaffa Gate there in Shar Yafo, in the entrance to Yerushalayim, there's that big breach in the wall where the cars drive behind the actual literal gate of Jaffa, the Yafo Gate, and the that is from when the Germans came, when the Kaiser Wilhelm came to visit Jerusalem. He said he has a big entourage, can't walk into the city without his full entourage, and the gate was too narrow, so they broke down the wall so he could walk in. Same kind of idea. As far as the king retaining the land that he sort of, like, you know, broached when he walked on through, so it seems from Rashi that he actually could retain the land for himself, whereas the Rambam says he cannot. He's just allowed to march through, but he can't keep the land for himself at that point. It's just a temporary access. Obviously, I can't take sides here. It certainly, you see from the story of Achav, who was certainly no tzaddik, that he wanted Navat's land, but he couldn't take it, and he didn't take it, and, you know, he's able to get involved. That would suggest, like the Rambam. In any case, the Mishnah goes on to say, V'chol ha'am bozin v'nosin l'fanav, when the people who carry out the war, when they succeed, they're going to have spoils of war. They're going to come back, you know, with whatever it is, you know, $1 million worth of, you know, of silver. So how do they allocate that? So the answer is, half goes to the king and half goes to the people. So if it's something that, you know, you put all $1 million worth of stuff in front of the king, he chooses which ones he wants. He gets half, but he can choose which half, so to speak. Who knows, tell Chelik Marosh, he chooses the pieces he wants, his half, and the other half goes to the people. It goes to the soldiers, but not just the soldiers who went out to battle, but also the people who guarded the encampment. They're both treated equally, so they all divide the other 50% amongst themselves. Now the Mishnah says, literally quoting from a pasuk, the pasuk says, "Lo yarba lo nashim," he shouldn't have too many wives. "Lo yasur levavo," so that his heart won't be turned away, meaning away from Hashem. So, how many is that? Says the Mishnah, it means elishmona esrei. 18 is the limit. So Tana Kama holds 18 wives is what he's allowed. There's a discussion machlokas the Rambam and Ravid. What's with if there's a consideration to be made for additional concubines or not? The Rambam says yes. But anyways, putting that aside, leave concubines out, back to wives. Limit is 18, says the Tana Kama. The base of the number 18 is like a drasha, also back from David HaMelech, because David HaMelech had six at a time, and the Pasuk says, V'imat v'osifa lacha kahena v'chahena. And that kahena twice is like 6 and 6 again, so that's 3 sixes is 18. That's a drasha. Okay, so you're up to 18. Tanakhama says, Rabbi Yehuda omer marbahulo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The king can have more than 18 wives. Ubavad shelo yu mesuros es libo. The point is, the pasuk says that the wives were afraid they're going to turn his heart away from Hashem. So you can get past 18, but you can't have more than 18 wives that would take him astray. You know, I don't know, I'll call them bad wives. So, a little strange, I'm not sure exactly what the threshold would be to count one of the wives as one of the bad wives. But anyways, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Now Rabbi Shimon says, no. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afil achas. Rabbi Shimon says, you can't even have one bad wife, the wife that would turn away the king from Hashem. No, none of those are allowed. Umasir es libo. So, hareze lo yisa'ena. He has no business marrying any such woman. So there is an 18 limit. Imkein lama ne'amar velo yarba lo nashim. So then, if there is... So what is the limiting of don't have too many wives? It means afilu kavigail. Even if he has wives that are nashim tzidkanios, holy wives, like Avigail, still, 18 is an upper limit, and not more than that. So no bad, and up to 18 max, good, if you will, wives. Okay, next, now the Mishnah talking about susim, horses. The Pasuk explicitly says you can't have many horses in the olden days, at the time of the psukim, long, long ago. All the horses were coming, the good horses were coming from Egypt. Horses were a symbol of, you know, stature and kavod. It's like people collecting fancy cars today, right? So the point is, you're allowed to have a car, but you can't have too many fancy cars because you're not supposed to be flaunting your wealth. You're supposed to be focused on the nation and its needs and not accumulating and aggrandizing yourself. And therefore, lo yarba lo not susim, you shouldn't have too many susim, too many horses. Elekadei merkavto. The king essentially has to privately support an army, which would include a cavalry. So if the king's army, which is the national army, if you will, has a cavalry and they need horses, so the king can amass as many horses as he needs for his cavalry. And here we don't mean one-to-one. We don't mean if he has, you know, 10 horse riders, he can get 10 horses. No. Obviously, they need to have spare horses because, you know, horses can get injured and tired and twist their ankles, who knows what. So the point is, he can collect the horse he needs for military purposes, but not for his own personal, like, wealth and self-aggrandizement. As for money, the same kind of thing applies. The chesed v'zahav lo yarbe lo ma'od. He shouldn't have excessive wealth. Elekadei liten afsanya. He has to pay for his, you know, for the standing army out of his treasury, if you will. So therefore, he needs to have enough money for that. But he shouldn't just be amassing wealth for the sake of being rich and famous, powerful. Not allowed. He's supposed to be, again, focused not on the material well-being and advancement of himself, but rather he should be focused on the well-being of the nation, so he can't have too much money getting amassed over there. And finally, says the Mishnah, v'chosav lo sefer Torah lishmo. He has to write a sefer Torah for the sake of his being the king, meaning there's already a mitzvah in the Torah that every Jew should write a sefer Torah. Many of us rely on the sheet of the Rosh, that it's about having access to Torah for learning, and therefore if you have a nice Jewish library in your home, if it's not a sefer Torah, you're Yotzi. But the Pasha says that's not the case. The Pasha says every Jew is intended to invest in a sefer Torah, meaning write it with his own hands, and some people fulfill it other ways, like writing part of a sefer Torah or a letter in a sefer Torah and the like. Whatever it is, the point is, besides for that, the king has to have an additional sefer Torah that he writes special. This would be like a little kind of mini sefer Torah that he can carry with him wherever he goes, because he has to keep it everywhere he goes. Says the Mishnah, he has to bring that sefer Torah with him, yotz l'milchama, even if he's going out to war. The last thing you want to do is schlepping around a sefer Torah when you are, you know, schlepping around in war. But he has to bring it to milchama. Omotzia imo, he brings that sefer Torah with him out to battle. Nichnas, when he comes back in from the war. Machnisa imo, he brings the sefer Torah with him, right? Yoshev Badin, he sits in judgment, meaning if he's acting as a dain, again, a melech from Beis David, hu imo, his sefer Torah is with him. Mesev, if he's just, you know, lounging about, he's having dinner on his couch there, drinking his wine, he's chilling, he needs to have his sefer Torah. He kenegdo, the sefer Torah has to be like an aron, but, you know, opposite him, in his living room, at all times, the king has the Torah with him, to remind him that he's subordinate to Hashem. He may be the king, but he really is there to serve Hashem and the people. And the symbol of that, of course, is the Torah, which he sort of humbles himself to. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, V'haisa imo, it shall be with him, meaning the Sefer Torah that he writes special, V'karavo kol yimei chayav, and he should read it all the days of his life. And again, he should subordinate himself and submit himself to Hashem and his Torah, and be mindful of that at all times.